You've arrived at episode number 8 of Ben Lee in Quarantine. This is the first of two episodes that Ben and I, Max Quinn, hello, will spend talking about Ben's relationship with essential oils and the multi-level marketing company called doTERRA. Now, there's lots to cover off here, including notes on the nature of obsession and the movie's adaptation and Office Space. But the big ticket item here is the story of why Ben cancelled his doTERRA account after spending years as a customer and wellness advocate. So what happened? Answers soon on Ben Lee in Quarantine. Hello, Ben.
Hey, mate.
Here we are again.
I know. It's a... Isn't there some movie about Paris, like a romance where they meet every year? What's that movie called?
Paris romance movie once a year.
Okay. Well, this is a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
Hey, I'd tell you a rabbit hole that I've been down in the past 24 hours. I've been immersed in doTERRA marketing materials.
Interesting.
I get the sense that this will be quite fertile ground for us for the next couple of episodes.
Let's get into it.
I wanted to start with where you stand today. Firstly, if you were to assess your relationship with essential oils as a product.
Well, I love essential oils. I've always loved like Chinese herbal medicine and natural products. I've never been an all or nothing. Like I'm the one much more who's like, just take the antibiotic. You know, like I've always sort of believed in a very integrative approach to medicine where you take the best of everything. And for sure that includes, you know, Western medicine and hard science and pharmaceuticals. It's all, I'm not an absolutist in any way about that, but I think natural products and natural medicine can be like, I mean, I truly kind of feel that so many of the problems in our life are caused by stress.
Mm.
And for that reason, anything that helps you relax and feel good and feel connected to your body and feel connected to nature is probably going to have some kind of positive ramifications on your health. So to me, that was never a sort of complicated thing to sort of see how that could fit into a broader picture that includes sort of a Western medicine approach.
Right. And I feel the same way about, for example, something like the sauna.
Yeah.
Which I credit with being one of the things that really helped bring me out of a really dark, depressive time in my life. You know, being able to go and sit and feel like in yourself and connect to your body and your experience, and for it to feel, you know, warm and nice and safe.
Yeah, and acupuncture. It's like these things are so great.
Things that are not strictly medicinal having properties that are healing.
Yeah, straight up. Exactly.
I think that is a fine baseline for us to enter this conversation with. How do you feel about if you were to assess your relationship with doTERRA?
Well, there are sort of two elements of it. Like one of them is in which in my life, there's a lot of things I like actively explore and have a big chapter of my life where like I'm quite immersed in it.
Yes.
And that chapter of sort of like understanding essential oils and all that, that had sort of already wrapped up some time ago.
Yeah.
In the idea that it wasn't like very central into my day-to-day thinking. It's just, you know, I kind of find with like all these sort of my approach to things being super immersive, I go into them, I'm like immersed in them, I'm studying, I'm learning, I'm practicing. And then eventually, it's funny, on one hand, I think of the adaptation, you know, the movie Adaptation?
Yeah.
Do you remember that guy when the guy when he's like, and then one day I was like, fuck fish. You know, it's like, and there's a little bit of that, but it's more that like, it's more that kind of the thing ends up becoming like integrated and put in a right size level of my life. So it just becomes one of my interests or one of my tools. And so that had already happened, but I had a major philosophical dispute with the company still as a as a customer and enjoyer of the product and still someone that received some residual income from the work I did with the product, you know, selling essential oils and stuff like that. So basically what happened was over the course of this year, I started, as I was following the QAnon, just like trying to put my finger on what channels of communication QAnon was using or who was susceptible, I started noticing that you'd basically, the thing about direct selling or multi-level marketing, it's dependent on people having these networks of communication.
Yeah.
And so part of the reason that Mormons traditionally have been good at direct sales is because their entire religion is based on opening a conversation.
I would like to share with you the most amazing book.
Exactly. And, you know, in some ways, they've had quite a lot of success with that, that model. So you can slip any product into that and you find quite a great built-in sales team with the skills needed to kind of, you know, make it happen. But what I noticed is that this darker sales funnel into QAnon was it had really infiltrated quite a lot of, I don't want to be too alarmist, but I would say there were 5 to 10 high level doTERRA networks, including Pete Evans.
Yeah.
That were on the same platforms that they were educating about essential oils. They were talking about Bill Gates is going to microchip you. Ignore Black Lives Matter and focus on Save the Children. And they were totally crossing streams with QAnon indoctrination materials and stuff. And my feeling was, doTERRA went through sort of interesting thing where they created a protocol where they said, hey, you're not allowed to say frankincense cures cancer. You're just not allowed to do it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It's forbidden.
You might believe that. You might have had cancer and says it wasn't the chemo, it was the frankincense. Mm. But you are not allowed because it puts the entire company at risk. And it's, they created a protocol. So my feeling was, in a very similar manner, a protocol needed to be established about people sharing political views, but particularly about hate speech. People should be essentially like deplatformed within the company. If you are basically, people are coming to you to learn about how to use a lemon essential oil on a cleanse, and they end up, you know, thinking that JFK Jr. is coming back on November the 13th or whatever it is, you know, you should not be allowed to, there's certain information you should not be allowed to share to protect the company's integrity. And I thought it was quite a straightforward request, but I should go back and say, I made this request after initially when Pete Evans was dropped by all of his endorsement deals and, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here or whatever. doTERRA stepped up and said, we're also cutting our ties with Pete Evans. And I was very impressed. I thought, look, this is a company that for the most part has really tried to do things ethically. I know you can argue about, are MLMs innately exploitative or cult-like? And I'm definitely open to that conversation. It's one I'm like, I'm not super passionate about because in some ways I think capitalism itself is exploitative. So I think in any way you're engaged in capitalism, you're basically involved in a pyramid scheme and it's unsustainable. Like capitalism itself is unsustainable. So I think of MLMs as sort of like yet another symptom of a kind of dark economic model, basically. But anyway, I thought within the way they source their plants and everything, they make a really big deal about giving to charity and all this. But so I was like, okay, this is cool. They've done the right thing. And then what I heard was that there was an internal call amongst several of the top sellers who really felt put out and judged and targeted and shamed and said, this isn't a company that, you know. And basically the next day, doTERRA put out,
right?
They walked it back and they said, we don't live in a culture of judging our sellers and we would never want anyone to. And I just sort of thought, like, God, you got so close. Like, yeah. You literally, all you had to say next was, there. You know, I know you're upset, but we don't like Nazis. I'm sorry. You can even say, I respect your right to be a Nazi. But you cannot express those views as a representative of the company. So anyway, I wrote an open letter to David Sterling, the CEO, and I posted it on Twitter and I sent it to him and to several people around. And I basically said, look, I need someone to clarify this in 10 days. Someone's got to come out. And I said, look, I'll be proactive. I'm going to offer you a two-step solution to this.
Mm.
One of them is, because there's a lot of religious people involved in Mormons, the issues of like religious freedom, and they're big for these people. Whether or not you agree, this is like a hot button issue, right?
Let's hang on. I need to clarify something.
Yeah, yeah.
doTERRA comes out of a Latter-day Saint community. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically right. Salt Lake City. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't have an overtly religious agenda, but it's baked into the structure of the company. It's like when there was a company called B&H, which was like a electrical company that was run by Hasidic people in New York City. And you'd go in and it was an electronics store, but it still, you just felt like you were in the yeshiva. It just had that vibe to it, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
So I said, look, I think there's, it's not a complicated solution. I think you need to say, look, we stand against domestic terrorism, which is pretty simple because the FBI has said QAnon is a domestic terrorist organization.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go out on a limb. You just go, we do not like white supremacy and domestic terrorism.
Because you don't want people thinking that doTERRA is like a portmanteau for domestic terrorism, do you?
Exactly, exactly. And you don't want to become one of those products like MyPillow or what was the other one? The beans, Goya beans.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Basically only right-wingers are going to buy, and they're going to buy it in principle to support the right to be right-wing. And the second thing is you have to have a protocol that people who represent your company are not allowed to push a political agenda through their platforms at the same time as they're selling your products.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite straightforward. And I don't necessarily see the lack of response as proof of some kind of sympathy with QAnon, though there could be. I see it as a flaw in a capitalist company that essentially is trying to weigh up who's more dangerous to upset here.
Yeah.
And I see essentially the company has said people that are making a lot of money for this company are telling us these are their values and we're going to stand behind them. And so I canceled my account and
oh, you did? Cool.
That was the end of it.
Right. I had no idea. I feel like that's cool. And to synthesize, it seems like you might feel integrated with the product, but fuck fish about the company.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I just said. I was trying to explain it to someone because, you know, it's funny, like musicians, when you're involved at all in selling a product or an endorsement deal or, you know, you are somewhat tying your public credibility and your image to some kind of capitalist agenda or product. You know, it happens when they've used "We're all in this together" for a Coca-Cola ad. I can't help it. I don't share necessarily the same moral value as Coca-Cola.
Here you are, in fact, sitting in a parody Pepsi t-shirt.
Oh yeah, peyote. I have to realize the reality is that I'm standing, and I know for me, look, I got to put food on the table and keep, you know, my family living and everything. And I think sinks, there's like a relatively harmless way to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But you do have to go, when a company does something overt that you really do, it's like, I just couldn't stand to have anything to do with it.
Yep.
I viewed it as like, I laid out a path. I said, I'm happy to continue this conversation. No one reached out to me. And I said, look, that's, you know, there's a time and a place for things, and this is the time to cut bait.
Right, right. And has your philosophy changed around the communities that form through doTERRA?
Well, I think you've probably gotten a sense from me that communities that form around anything, I struggle with, you know. I think as an artist, one of the things that's been like a painful, this might not even be an artist, this might just be becoming a man, becoming an adult, that you're essentially, you got to take care of yourself and you have to stand up for yourself and for your family. And the idea that you're going to find community that you have some sort of shared resonance with that will be lasting and that will be, I mean, it's, I see it now as like a kind of idealism, like even collaborations, like you and I right now, like we entered into some weird cosmic like space that at the right moment in your life and the right moment in my life, there was a moment to do a collaboration. And I know in the past there's been a naive side of me. Me and my wife were talking about this last night. Like when you finish a movie or you finish like a team thing, there's always the week after it ends that you're like, let's all stay best friends forever and let's buy a house in the country together. And we're gonna. And, you know, in some ways growing older is not, it's not that you become cynical, but you become in reality about, and in some ways you honor the transient nature of these moments and these connections and communities. I don't think they can last forever. They have to ebb and flow in your life, and it has to be something you're sort of willing to let go of almost in order to stay present with what your current value system is.
I agree with that. And I think that I want to say good on you for making the call to identify a company, but a community that was not working for you and that was instead, as you said the other day, like working against your moral compass and removing yourself from it, because I can imagine that that is difficult. We've talked before about the backlash that you might have experienced in coming out of those communities. Are you feeling it again this time?
Yeah, I mean, mainly just from like a couple of friends who are actually close friends who see it as also that like I'm damaging their business.
Oh.
Which is, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I mean, taking economic action, it is one of the tools we have. Where we put our money and what we endorse as consumers is, it's a pressure. There are very few pressures we can actually put on a corporation, and that's one of them. So it's unfortunate. I definitely don't want to harm the livelihood of, like, you know, working mums, like single mums or people that are like, you know, this is their livelihood or anything. But I do think the issue around right-wing populism, conspiracy theories, white nationalism, this is actually a much bigger battle. And there is going to be collateral damage in these kind of things when companies get boycotted or, you know, people remove their spending dollars from them.
Did you make much? I don't need you to specify a dollar amount, but did you make much residual income from selling doTERRA products?
I mean, in the scheme of artists doing side hustles, it was not that great. You know, like for instance, I've always look at the great example would be when 50 Cent got stock in vitamin water.
Oh yeah.
Sold it for like $20 million or whatever. Like I look at that as like a great side hustle. I would say any side hustles I've done, including like, you know, I built a house and sold it with my wife. Like we've done business things and they're fun and they've been profitable, but never to the extent that they've made me go, God, you know what? Really got to get rid of this songwriting thing. This is a real like albatross around my neck. Like ultimately, I think my greatest value, which can be measured perhaps in income too, is through music. And, you know, I like business. I find it to be sort of like a fun game you can play. I've tried several things. I just don't think it's not what I'm called to do in the deepest sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. I understand you. I have been watching these, we'll call them marketing materials. I would almost go as far as to call indoctrination materials for doTERRA. For example, I saw a print at home kids flashcards that you can get for doTERRA. And I was kind of like, oh, this, the point at which we are starting to include children in our, not only our marketing materials, but in our pitch, is the point at which I feel some sort of ethical line being drawn. But I'll say that in watching these materials, the things that I felt the most, in taking in these materials, the things that I felt were the most common were a dangling of vast lifestyle improvements. So, you know, work from home, own your own business, sovereignty over your own time, set your hours, etc. Miraculous occurrences, not explicitly branded as miracles, being another thing. And then the bucket of water analogy, which I must have heard a fucking 100 times now. I wonder...
The pipeline.
Yeah, the pipeline. How can you make the water work for you, Ben? How did you make the water work for you?
Well, I think what's interesting is for me, it's much like the way I was saying when I was growing up and hearing religion talked about in school and was like, I want to have my own visionary experience.
Mm-hmm.
The prescriptive nature of the business model was I understood the appeal of it, but not for me, right? Meaning that like I like this. I like the inventing of narrative through exploration. Mm-hmm. I like moments of genius. I like moments of inspiration. And ultimately, being told, it's the classic thing, it's almost like Office Space or something, or working at KFC and being told, big smile. Ultimately, the idea of business that involves prescriptive behavior, you could say, obviously, that exists in music too. Like, maybe that's the medium of the verse, chorus. Yeah. Maybe that's the structure. Maybe it's the same as big smile, wear your, what do they call it? Your flair.
Pieces of
sparkle. Do you have a lot of flair on your uniform?
Yeah.
Maybe it's all the same thing, but I think I'm ultimately too much of a, and I don't mean this, I don't mean this to sound like I'm brilliant, but I like innovation. Ultimately what bored me about the business model was the prescriptive nature of it. That being said, I think there is a type of genius in having a duplicatable system, which is basically, you know, like podcasters do this. They'll teach, this is someone that's had a successful podcast that will teach you how to podcast. Follow these steps. Like the simplification and demystification of process is interesting. And when I think back to how did Noise Addict get our first interest from a record label, it was because I followed a how-to guide at the back of Drum Media about print a demo. This is called a bio. This is called photos. So you know, this is what your photos should be like and send it to a label. Come, you know, follow up a week later. See, it's pure sales and it's exactly the kind of stuff they're teaching you in direct selling companies. So I don't know, like ultimately... It's funny. A friend called me the other day about he wanted to talk about ayahuasca, and I've had this a few times where people want to. They often people who are interested in it are in a place of personal crisis, and they're interested in it because they hear that it's good for dealing with personal crisis and it brings up trauma and all this stuff. And I said, I'm going to say something hugely unfashionable, but I think the best compass is generally fun.
Oh, I could not agree with you.
Like if you ask me what is the real value of psychedelics, I'll tell you I think they're really fun.
Yep.
They can tap you back into both the nightmare and the exhilaration of childhood. And I think when things aren't fun, you're probably not going to have that much real luck with them.
This I was thinking about this in the shower this morning. So this is a thing that bands often will approach me being like, well, how could I have more success? And the question that I will often ask is, what are you in this for? Your answer is have fun. And if it's not, you are less I believe, predisposed to be able to find the success in the things that you will eventually be able to make an income and be able to live off of.
Well, it's like a truism. Like, everyone wants success.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want success? You don't even need to say it.
No.
Like, yes, whatever you're doing in life, you would like to do it successfully, not unsuccessfully. But
totally.
The question, like, you know, I thought what you were going to say is another road you could lead them down is, well, the question they're asking is, how could you have more fun?
Oh,
because
yes.
essentially with any kind of sales or standing on a stage, having a product, having a service, whatever it is, one of the things I actually learned in direct selling that was, it's actually like a sales tool that is, I think, deeply applicable to artists, is sell the destination, not the airplane. Right? So
yeah.
the product that you're selling, the particular song, the particular essential oil, the particular car, it's not that important. You can be selling anything. The real thing is, what's the meaning of the thing that you're selling?
Right.
Like I believe that there is that my audience who likes things that I offer them, whether I give them for free through social media or whether I sell them at a concert or whatever, they're essentially buying the way I experience the world.
A piece of your fun.
Yeah, a piece of your fun, exactly. And if that's fun, and then it's like you get into like the decision-making process of doing things or not doing things, and you realize how profoundly unfun certain things sound to you.
Yeah.
And it becomes obvious that you don't want to do them and nothing good's going to come of them.
Let's tie a bow on this with this question, and then we can pick back up more on this tomorrow. Did being participant to doTERRA as a company lose its luster of fun?
Yeah, it's like, honestly, like, I mean, I've done so many weird things. I mean, we haven't even talked about like death midwifery and hospice volunteering.
No, I'm so interested in it. Yeah.
Like, I've gone down, you know, for a while I was like deeply into helping cultivate this blockchain social media site called Steemit that was like ended up sort of collapsing.
Oh,
ended
yeah.
up collapsing into the dust. But for a while I was like,
oh boy, I did not even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's, we gotta
I was
get
like,
down there.
I was like, oh, this could be a real answer to, you know, censorship and to the permanence and accountability if things are registered on the blockchain before people post. But anyway, I generally find like these interests, they light me up for a little while and they like re-tap me into like my childhood curiosity and my passion and everything. But I have to watch out for not being too like evangelical with them. Cause I'm just like, it's like, I'm like that person who's like, have you eaten at Haymarket Thai food? Have you eaten it? Have you,
yeah.
You haven't had Thai food until you eat. Seriously, you got to eat that, you know, cause I just get like so excited and inspired. And you got to remember, mm-hmm. there's no magic pill for happiness in life and never to sell things in that way. But I would say in general, anything that isn't, I would say music, marriage, and parenting are the mm-hmm. three things that haven't lost their luster. They're the, mm-hmm. they're like the only three things that seem to, over a long term, become more meaningful, more profound, more satisfying, more challenging, more difficult.
Yeah.
So it's like when people ask me about, people assume I have like a spiritual practice. They're like, how many minutes a day do you, I don't have a spiritual practice. Because my spiritual practice, I generally believe, is my marriage. I mean, that's
right.
Where I think if I get in a good place with that, my life kind of goes well. And if I'm in a bad place with
yep.
that, my life's not going to go well. So I just look at it as like all these other things have been interesting experiments and have interesting places to flex certain muscles and learn things and build up skills, but they haven't had the staying power that like basically art and love have had for me.
Makes complete sense to me. You're if I can diagnose you, your disease is fun, Ben.
Yeah, it might be. That might be the problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave it there and we can pick it up tomorrow.
Awesome, mate. See you, Max. Bye.
Lovely talking. Bye. Ben Lee in Quarantine is a collaboration between me, Max Quinn, and Ben Lee. I'm doing all the mixing and producing and editing and stuff. Sorry if you run into any pops or clicks or bung audio. I'm trying. Thank you to Ben. You can find him on the internet at Ben Lee Music. You can say hi to me at Max Quinn. We'll have another episode for you real soon.